Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of my favorite things, really, in the book of Acts, but it also goes into the Pauline epistles, is the individuals that joined the Apostle Paul and sometime Barnabas and sometime Silas in their journey. It was like they were satisfied being in Lystra. They were satisfied being in Antioch. But some way, they would join Paul on mission. Now, we know Paul and Barnabas had a definite call when God said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the field, the mission that I've called them to." But along the way, Paul would preach the gospel, and many would be saved, and some of them were already saved before he got there, but he'd disciple them and look like they would join him. And so today we want to talk about the possibilities that God has for you and what might happen. Nathan, tell us the name. I love the name of our program today, but I wanted you to tell it because I think you can describe it much better.
Well, today we want to talk about the on-ramp into missions, or an on-ramp. It's not the only way to get there, but it's a way to get involved in what God's doing in the world. We've all been there, at least those of us who drive can relate to exiting onto maybe a freeway, an interstate, a highway, where you have to use an on-ramp to yield into the flow of traffic.
Well, before you go any further, I want to ask you, did you come up with this idea when you lived in Atlanta?
Well, I will say this. There are some exit and on-ramps in Atlanta that are many miles long. It's incredible. There's probably other cities that it's like that. But when you have an exit ramp off of your exit ramp, you know, and you have to know which one to take, it's can be confusing.
So we don't want to make it that complicated,
right, exactly,
today. We're going to simplify it like it is in Tupelo, Mississippi, where our headquarters is. A lot easier in Tupelo than Atlanta.
Yeah, we're talking about just simply taking some small steps for any individual, any person listening. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can begin today taking these small steps and joining with what God is doing. You don't have to sit around waiting for a personal special call to go. You can just simply be obedient to the general call to all followers of Jesus to, well, do what Jesus told the 12, the 11 in Mark chapter 16. It says, "He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." So that was verse 15, Mark 16, 15. Down in verse 19, it says, "Then after speaking to them, the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." Verse 20, what did they do? They went out and preached everywhere. So they just simply did what he said. They just started. And so for us today,
they did not necessarily have to go before a board and get approved. They just started, right?
Yep. Jesus sat
down. I'm interrupting because
it's
amazing because I'm trying to take away excuses is what I'm trying
to
do.
Well, it says Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. In other words, he had finished his work. Now he was working through those that he had sent. And you know what we call those that Jesus sends today? We call that the church. And so we're the sent out ones. And so here's how we can start. Here's how some small, simple steps to get started in mission work. Whether you consider yourself a missionary or you consider yourself called, it doesn't matter. We're bypassing that lingo, and we're just going to be obedient and go out and preach the gospel. And so if you think about it, if you take your car and your drive and you get on the on-ramp toward the freeway, toward the interstate, you know, you have to build your speed up. You have to go through your gears, right? And you're probably already in first gear as you make your turn onto the on-ramp. And so if you think about first gear, that's kind of where we start as a simple follower of Jesus. You know, we've been saved, we've been redeemed, our lives have been changed. The trajectory of our life, the direction of our life is changed. And so what's left now is take some small steps to work through the gears to get our speed up and catch up with what God's doing in the world. So that's kind of the picture that we're kind of offering today.
So here you may be listening to this and you may be new to AFR and you just happen to turn the radio on in this program you're listening to. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ where he becomes Lord of your life. You find out that your life is empty, your life is going nowhere far as eternity is concerned and the eternal things that really matter. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And that first gear, you can't get into second gear spiritually until you've gone through first gear.
Right.
You got to be born again.
Absolutely. So that's kind of where it starts. And so we're going to start small from there. And a couple of notes as we kind of dig into this. One is that the further you go, the faster, if you will, the closer you get to Jesus, the more missionary-like you become. But to do that, it's going to require a growing and significant amount investment in the amount of time and possibly even money that you use and that you spend in this. So it's like a car. You buy a car, you're not done paying for it. You know, you got more an investment to make. And also a note, I would encourage people to don't feel like you have to start big. You don't have to start highly organized and programized. You can just start kind of organically, personally, where you are. Small steps is what I think God honors and expects from us.
I would agree with you. I have talked to people, and I think they'd already gone through first gear. They'd really been saved. But I am afraid what they were doing was waiting on something big so they could join it. They didn't see God using them where they were. But listen, those that have started, they're amazed at what God can do at any particular time, and God can do that in a great way.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been commissioned, right? So we don't have to wait on anything else. We can get started. So the first gear, if you will, is kind of the Bible gear, if you want to call it that. And there's three little steps. So the first step is simply to explore what the Bible says about God's heart for the nations. You can say this in different ways, but what the Bible talks about from Genesis to Revelation, and we talk about this a lot on this program, many of our episodes are dedicated to looking at what the Bible says, different books of the Bible, about God's heart for his glory, for the nations, what we would call missions, and you can trace it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And so step one is simply just study the Bible, read the Bible, learn what it says about God's heart for all the nations and his purposes on the earth for all people groups. And you can use a Bible concordance, look up the word nations in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. You can look up phrases like for his name's sake or for my name's sake. You can find traces of that throughout the Bible. You can just simply notice in the New Testament how Jesus would interact with Gentiles. And that could be just a simple Bible study you can do. There's lots of ways to discover this. You can go back and listen to some of our podcasts where we talk about this. But you can find God's heart for the nations in every book of the Bible. You can see traces of his purpose, his global redemptive purpose for the world throughout Scripture. And so that's the first step. Just study, learn, and discover what God is saying in his word.
You know, Nathan, when I hear this and I think of the other program that I'm involved in, we get a lot of phone calls, you know, at the end of the hour, and a lot of them are saying, what can I do? And a lot of them ask about the difference in the Jewish nation and the church. Is it replacement? And I said, no, it's not. God still has a plan for the Jewish people. But for as being reaching the nations, we're the same. That's what called Abraham to reach all the nations of the earth. And let me say, the Great Commission says something about going to all the world.
Yeah.
So that has been consistent from Genesis all the way through Revelation.
Yeah, so as you do that, the second step will simply be learning principles and practices from the Bible that relate to mission work, that relate to how you are to share the good news, how we are to approach different types of people, how we are to work in teams and go out and be sent out by a church, and all these principles that relate to our day-to-day life of mission, like a ongoing lifestyle of living on mission. There's principles in God's Word that show us how to go about doing that. There's practices. We can see examples, and we can just follow those examples. Luke chapter 10 is full of that sort of thing. There's all places in the Bible you can find basic principles and practices from the Bible. So you want to set a foundation. Step one, get a biblical foundation for missions. Step two is build onto that, those principles and practices. So then step three, again, we're focused on the Bible, what the Bible has to say about mission work. And step three is simply begin reading and discussing these things with a small group. So you might want to start by yourself and just see what God says to you through His Word. And then as you're learning some of these things, share it with a small group of people. Get your friends together. Again, it doesn't have to be highly organized, just on a semi-regular basis. And invite them, encourage them to study along with you, and just discuss it and share what God is showing each of you about His heart for the nations, about that missional thread throughout the Bible, about some practices and principles that you're learning. So that's the third step, is simply just get together with a small group and learn and discuss together.
Jesus, what did He do? He would call the 12, and I can just imagine them sitting around the campfire. You know, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay His head except outside. Also, can you imagine traveling with the Apostle Paul, and it was his group? So the biblical model is there, isn't it?
Yeah, we can learn many, many things from the Bible, Old and New Testament, about how to live on mission, how to be intentional with our witness, how to be effective with our witness. But it requires, one thing the Bible does show plainly, it requires a team. You can't do it by yourself. So you might start with a Bible study simply on your own, but then quickly you want to move into sharing this with a group, a small group of people, two or three is all it would take. All right, so the next gear, we're shifting gears, and we're going to move into the prayer focus, a prayer gear, if you will. And so some three more steps with prayer as the central part. So this will be like the step four. So as your group, you're meeting as a group, you want to begin praying in your group for the lost people in your group that you're related to, whether it's relatives, family members, it could be coworkers, it could be associates and just people you know, friends. But you might even want to make a list. If there's two or three in your group and you begin studying God's Word, knowing His heart for the lost, then pray for the lost that you know, that you have a heart for, and write their names down. Pray for them by name. You can pray for three people every week. Let's say you're meeting weekly with your group. You want to pray for those three people each week and see what God starts doing in your own heart. That will eventually relate to sharing the gospel with these people. That's the point. You want to get to that point, but you've got to pray about it. And so that's the fourth step.
Three names come to my mind: a prayer group, a support group, and accountability group. And it's all together basically the same thoughts on that they do that.
Yeah, that's what you're becoming. But it's kind of a discovery group where you're discovering God's heart and you're relating it to these people. God has a heart for these people that I have a heart for, and I want to pray about that. And I want to, with my small group, I want to learn how to share good news with these people. So the fifth step will then also be expand that a little bit further out. You want to expand out God's heart for this small group of people that I know to people that I don't know, but somewhere in the world. So you might want to begin praying for unreached peoples, praying for people that have not had the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus yet, someone on the other side of the world, a group of people that's considered unreached or unengaged with the gospel.
Where can people find information? There's some information on that, isn't
there? Yeah, a couple of good websites to look for that. Finishingthetask.com, Finishing the Task, and then joshuaproject.net. Those are really good websites to go to find some information about who to pray for, how to pray for these groups. And that's what you want to do with your little group that you've gotten going. Expand your prayer focus to include the world. And so pray for some maybe adopted, unreached people groups that your group can adopt and pray for. All right, step six. This is simple. So you want to simply expand your group now. You've been reading the Bible, discovering, learning together. That's exciting. You've been praying together. That's really important. You're binding together. So you want to kind of expand your circle and start inviting a few more people to join your group. And it could be two or three groups form out of this, or it could be just a larger group. But you want to invite others to join your group praying for these things. This could be like a larger circle within your church or just wherever you are, you know, whether you're meeting at work or in someone's home or in a public place, a restaurant or something. You want to start, you know, reaching out, inviting some people to come join your group. Possibly some of the people who you might want to invite to join your group are those lost people that you've been praying for. That would be a novel idea, right? Invite them to come pray and learn from God's word in your group together. All right, the next gear before we hit the freeway, right? As we're on this on-ramp, you could call it the practical gear. Like, let's put some things into practice. More than just talking, more than just reading, more than just praying, let's go out and do some things. So like step seven would be explore small, but, you know, small and simple, but intentional actions. That would be like service, acts of service that your group can go do outside the walls of the church, the walls of wherever you're meeting, somewhere around you in your community. There might be a need somewhere you've noticed, and your group can brainstorm together and come up with some simple, practical ways of being involved in serving others, reaching out to those around you.
Nathan, when I hear this, I can't help but think again. I know we refer to this quite often, the times we shared together, but we divided up into, I would say, communities. You know, I think in our particular one, there was about 26 different groups that were meeting, and each group were assigned to find a ministry that they could do. And I was always intrigued by your group. You guys hung out at the washateria.
The laundromat.
The laundromat. And that was an amazing stories that we would hear. I know some that they went to the people, the homeless group. They went to those. And we had all over our little city, we had different groups ministering in so many different ways. And it was creative. I couldn't have come up with those if I'd have done that, like the staff, we want to find out 26 things we can do. We could have never done that. But when it was done the way that you're talking about doing it, it really did change things.
Yeah, so one thing about that is that if you're spending time as a small group, first personally yourself, right, but then you're including others, and as this small group of followers of Jesus, you are spending time with God in His Word, and you begin tracing His heart that's evident all over Scripture. You start tracing His heart for what He's concerned about, what He wants to see happen, what are His purposes in the world. You start kind of taking some of that on, right? You start, well, the more time you're with Jesus, the more you become like Jesus. And the more you do that, you realize Jesus is a missionary.
He would go to the woman at the well on purpose. Isn't it amazing in that story? He sent the apostles away.
He got them out of the way.
He got them out of the way. And so when they came back, the rest of the story, they dared not what he had done. They knew he was up to something. So God is up to something in this group. God will show you something, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, you've been praying together. You've been, the burden in your own heart for other people is growing, I believe. If you're spending true, intimate, passionate time in prayer, seeking God's face in prayer, on your knees together with a small group of people, Maybe you invite a larger group of people to join in with this. But if you're together doing that, I mean, God responds to that. God hears those prayers, and God will work in your heart what you're praying for. I truly believe it, because you're already praying according to Scripture. You've been studying it. You've been learning it. So you're praying it now, and then you're ready to start putting it into practice. It's kind of just an overflow of what God's doing in your own heart.
You know, there's some meat that you got to tenderize. You get a hammer with all those spikes on them, as I call them, and tenderize it. God has to tenderize some of us. Some of us are hard-headed and a little bit narrow-minded, and so God has to tenderize us. And he uses other people and other needs to get us to see what we need to see.
Yeah, and I mean, think about the disciples. It took them 3 years to be tender enough for Jesus to ready to send them out. And so you can't put a timeline on this, these steps. It's just as God's working in you and in your group. It could happen quickly, but it might not. It might be for a while that you're doing this. But those practical steps that you can take, you talked about our group going to the laundromat, and that was just an idea. Nobody in our group actually came up with it. We read about that somewhere, and somebody had that idea of putting your quarters together and then going out to a laundromat and hanging around the laundromat, paying for people's wash and the use of their dryer. And while they're sitting there waiting on their laundry to finish, they're just kind of a captive audience sitting there waiting. You get to share with them, and you get to share the good news of Jesus with people. We've met a lot of interesting people in those times in the laundromat, including I remember speaking to a Muslim guy from Palestine. Got to share, bring a Bible in Arabic to him. Just see what God does with that, right? It's an adventure to undertake. All right, so step eight is also to discover some simple, reproducible methods and tools to be effective in sharing the gospel. Here's some simple ways we can learn to share the gospel with someone, maybe succinctly, maybe in a way that they can understand, but just methods of sharing good news of Jesus. And so you want to practice them in your group, and then you're out next time you're out serving someone in a service project or some kind of simple act of service, you get to throw in the seeds of the gospel as you do that.
That is so real. Sometimes that's what people need. I heard the story about this guy that was saved on an airplane, and he said, what you need to do, you need to share that with somebody. And he knew a guy that was in a seat not far from him, and he knew he was a Christian. He said, you see that guy up there? Go share that with him. Now, the guy who was going to tell him about what had just happened, he didn't know that this guy was a Christian, but after he shared it and he did good, the guy that was hearing him was praising God, and he saw what he was doing, but it was rehearsing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was rehearsing what
That's
they
right.
needed to do to share with others.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with practicing it. God doesn't expect us to cold turkey becoming a Billy Graham overnight by sharing the gospel effectively with someone. We need to practice it. It's good to practice with your group before you go out and put it into practice in real life. But God can use our stumbling, bumbling efforts, even as weak as we might be. He can still use those for his glory. All right, so step nine. You know, it's easier sometimes to share the gospel with strangers, if you will, people that you just meet. And it might be harder to share the gospel many times for people that are close to you. So remember that small group of people that you've been praying for to hear the gospel, the people that you're close to, they're your friends and your family members, your coworkers. Now take somebody in your group after you've practiced and got some experience. Go with them to meet with your friend, meet with your family member. And y'all together share the good news of Jesus with that person and see what happens.
Jesus said, launch out into the deep. So you kind of got to get out of the boat, don't you?
Yeah. So that's the ninth step. Now, the tenth step is simply repeat the first nine steps with a new group.
Okay.
Go through it again.
Is that called multiplication or planting?
Yeah, you want to multiply this.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you might see happen is some sort of on mission, living on mission, gospel sharing revolution happen in your own local church, in your own town, and in your area where you live. God might use that to start something fresh and new that he wants to do with his people. And it could start with you simply by reading the Bible. So that would be the ninth step. Let me give you a bonus, or actually that's the tenth step. Let me give you a bonus step. Take some from your little group and go on a short-term mission trip, maybe to the place and the people that you've been praying for overseas.
Amen. Go into those countries. You're out of your comfort zone, out of your language most of the time, having to use an interpreter, but it changes your life. If it doesn't change your life, I'm not sure you've ever been in first gear. You catch what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Someone that goes on one of these mission trips and sees what God is doing. Listen, I don't see how you come back without having a heart for that group of people.
Yeah.
And I can still visualize some of the places that I've been on mission trips. And when I visualize them, Nathan, I pray for them, and I pray for those that are there to minister to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So you take this journey, these steps, you go from the whatever path you're on, and you're actually joining God in what he's doing in the world on his, if you want to call it, his mission expressway, right? And you're taking these steps on this on-ramp to get involved yourself. You will be changed. Now, I'm not saying these steps are exactly right. You can skip a few, that's fine. But if you put some of them into practice, if you start doing some of these steps, I promise you'll be different. You'll be different. You'll be closer to the Lord, and you'll be closer to what he's doing in the world without even having some kind of personal special call fall on you from heaven. You're already involved in what God's doing. And who knows, maybe God might send you somewhere. Maybe he will give you that special call. But you will find yourself doing what the disciples did. When Jesus said, go preach the gospel everywhere, they just did it. Amen. They got up and went and preached the gospel.
I can visualize that person driving on the on-ramp now, and they're saying, man, I need to do this for the glory of God. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions, and may God use you in his mission to reach all the nations of the world.